Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Today, I am doing a unique show. Originally, it was going to be a solo show, but I have invited my producer, Kojo, to participate with me to ask any questions that might come up that he has or that he thinks the listeners might have. And today, you know, in the past, I've been out of town for about 9 days, and so I didn't do a show last week, but I have encountered many situations, as I do as a healer, that helps me to begin to solidify in my mind and see actually our need to really understand who we are as human beings. What is our place on the earth? What is our place in life? And so much of that information, which was guarded and protected and honored and respected for many, many, many thousands of years on the North American continent, was literally wiped off the memory of most human beings, intentionally. So imagine all of this information about our connection to life. And in particular, what I'm going to be talking about today is our connection to the living earth. How do we reconnect? How do we consciously become aware of this beautiful dynamic relationship that we have that preserves our life, enhances our life, is only possible for us to have a life because we are on a dynamic living being. So in truth, we are never disconnected from the earth until we have died. We are always connected, but how do we consciously reconnect? So I invite my friend Kojo to be with us today, and I'm very happy to have that. I enjoy our deep conversations that we have. Often just before we have shows or at other times when we have the opportunity to meet. So I realize that there's a unique opportunity here. So one of the things that we have been challenged with as we have gone through this pandemic and now seemingly trying to get back to what we call quote unquote normal is we forget the lessons we may have learned. We have forgotten the significance of the time that we've had away from our normal, our common activities, like getting together, working, traveling, all of the things that we have taken for granted, can, when they're slowly or abruptly withdrawn from us, we have a different opportunity to be in a different space. And what I mean by that is a place within our own thinking, a place within our own awareness. The space that is uniquely you. And every human being on this planet is a unique individual, but uniquely a part of one species called humanity. And as conscious and intelligent and emotive individuals, we have the singular opportunity that no other species has, which is to contribute. Or if we do not contribute, then we can easily cause harm to ourselves or one another. So I want to talk with you today about something that I have been doing for the past 25 years, is helping others understand the reason and the source that we are capable of living. And that is the earth herself. So I'm calling this episode on Earth Wisdom Circles, connecting with the living earth, so that we can consciously begin to do so on a daily basis, and at times moment by moment, which does not diminish our time, but actually enhances our time. So we live on a living being. All we have to do is look outside. From my vantage point, I'm on the second floor of my home, and I look out into very mature trees. And they're so mature and so dense, you really can't see too deeply into the wooded area. But I know unequivocally that it is teeming with life. I hear the birds, I see the squirrels, I see the deer as they come and go. And it's easy to be entertained by that. But we need to learn to look a little deeper. How is this life there? What makes it possible for this life to be here? As I sit in Michigan, we've had a great deal of rain, which we need. And it is that rain that is helping to contribute to making all of this greenery so lush. So we, as human beings, arrogantly believe that we are somehow in control of this life outside, or that we're somehow superior to this life outside, and that we can use or misuse it as we choose. This arrogance of mind has created so many challenges in our world today that we have nearly destroyed the environments in which we live. And it is when we get to these moments of panic, because we witness global warming, which is an inevitable change that will happen, but has been exacerbated by the actions of humanity, has quickened it, and given Earth no time to correct any imbalances that have been a part of our world. So as human beings, we have got to look squarely at ourselves and say, what is my part here? And it's not only the what, but how do I live? How do I choose to live? Not why do I choose to live, or what am I going to do, but how do I choose to live? The earth helps us to have some stability. Many people see an image that is commonly associated with the American Medical Association, and it is called the caduceus. We arrogantly and incorrectly believe that that represents medicine, or the allopathic model of medicine. So if you're familiar with what I'm speaking of as a staff, the two snakes climbing up and intertwine, or intersect rather, with wings at the top and a ball at the top. Many people don't realize that that pictogram, that graphic image, is a very, very sophisticated image that represents how energy moves within the human body. It has been grossly misunderstood. Each of the symbols have been relegated, or some of the symbols, one in particular, has been relegated to a debased belief that a snake is somehow bad. So we are looking at a very beautiful symbol when we see that. And it is a symbol of how you and I are even alive. So this image that I'm speaking of, this caduceus, is always seen with a vertical staff. And these two snakes are crisscrossing one another and moving upward. And what these two represent is a current of energy that moves from the living earth up through the spinal cord and is then distributed in literally nanoseconds through this incredible neurological system that we have called a nervous system. And what it is providing the body is information. When I mentioned earlier that some of these symbols have been debased, is in ancient times, before there was what we would refer to as a written alphabet, those who needed to communicate with one another used images of the natural world to clearly give information to someone when they saw that image. So the image of a snake was a beautiful image, never something to be afraid of or harmed by. A snake often represented a river because of the way its body serpentined, because a dangerous river is a perfectly straight river. Mother Earth herself has designed rivers with bends and curves so that the control and the flow of water is controlled, and that everything in the surrounding area is nurtured by that gentler movement of water. Our own energy moves in the same way. So religions made the symbol of life herself as if it were something fearful or bad. The two snakes, as they intersect, represent a current of energy. As we know now in science, that a neurological impulse is an electrical current. You do not have simply negative, neutral, and positive. You have none of those singularly. You have them all together. That creates a movement from positive to neutral to negative. Even our words are grossly misunderstood. Negative does not mean bad. It just means it is an electrical charge. It is a quality of an electrical charge. Positive does not mean always good. It just means a quality of electrical charge. Neutrality does not mean absence of emotion or absence of power. In fact, neutrality is the most powerful stance to have because you're not reacting. But in this case, a neutrality of an electrical current propels it to move forward. So there's many things that we need to begin to look at. And in, again, back to this caduceus, as energy moves up the spine, then whatever needs to be discharged moves out of the body and back to the earth, just like our exhalations do. So today I wanted to speak about how do we reconnect to the earth and why is that essential? And I want to let you know that I will be offering once again at the end of August. The dates are not completely firmed up yet, but either the third or the fourth weekend in August, I will begin to teach again 2-day intensives in person in Farmington Hills with those who really want to learn and experience what it means to have a connection to the earth and what we can do to ourselves, for ourselves, with ourselves, and with others. And this workshop I have been teaching for nearly 25 years is called Sacred Geometry and Energy Medicine. And what that means is that geometry, our own body is geometry. Sacred means secret or not quite known or protected. And geometry is the patterns that are inherent in life. So great minds like Galileo, Einstein, Kepler, Michelangelo, many, many great thinkers, understood that there were patterns that were inherent in life, and that life replicated these patterns over and over and over again in many, many different ways, and different patternings that were always geometry. So our bodies are mirrors of that. So when someone takes a workshop from me, with me, it's very experiential. It's a very experiential process, which means I am not the professor that is going to profess something. I am going to help to facilitate an experience so that you yourself can learn who you are, so that you yourself can feel and become aware of what your body is capable of. I have been speaking for 15 minutes and I have neglected to let Kojo say one word. Kojo.
One word. Guess that was two.
Thank you. I want to help. Please feel free if at any point, just interrupt me. Okay. If you have a question, and because that's called a conversation, not an interruption, actually.
Well, I like to reconnect with the earth by planting things. Does that count?
Everything counts.
Okay.
But yes, it is powerful because it is a visual image for you to see. What we see when we plant something is we see life working.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful representation and an intimate one because this tiny, tiny seed that you plant has all, it's a microcosm of the macrocosm that I'm speaking of. Just like a tiny, tiny seed has all the genetic information and coding for that particular species. So when you plant a leaf of lettuce seed, you do not grow an oak tree.
Right.
You do not grow a carrot. You do not grow an apple. Its own uniqueness is already encoded and protected in that little seed. And so it's a beautiful microcosm of the macrocosm I'm speaking of. It's in the native terms, they call it the little big, which means everything is mirroring one another, but often in very various sizes. This too is geometry. So it's beautiful, and it's a wonderful way to help people begin to reconnect to the earth. And I'm glad that you asked that, is because what we forget is we learn so much about time, about space, about planting, about preparedness, and about survival by planting one single seed. So let me explain.
By the way, it's an honor to be on your show, and thank you for having me.
You're so sweet.
I should have started with that.
Oh, thank you. So what I mean by that is when we hold a little seed in our hand, if we don't really honor that seed, we will miss the message the seed has offered. A seed is ancient. Ancient. It didn't just come out of the little package that you bought at the hardware store or you bought at a seed place.
Okay.
This is an ancient being that for tens of thousands of years has helped to sustain life. And it is the offspring of its parent and its parent's parent and its parent's parent. And it is the ancestor of every other thing yet to come in its species.
I never thought of it like that.
The same is true for humanity. They have recently discovered that as a grandmother, for instance, when I was growing in utero, when I was in my own mother's womb, every ovum every potential life had already been carried from my great-grandmothers to my grandmothers to my mother to me. And in my body, in my ovaries, as they were developing, was the potential life for my daughter, my grandchildren, my granddaughters, and the life yet to come. It's all within us. It's all the genetic coding. And so the challenge that most people have, Kojo, is they do not know how to think.
Wow.
They do not know how to stand in a sense of appreciation.
It's true.
And so we plop a seed in the ground, and then we say, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, I want my lettuce. But we never think truly. And I want you to think of this in the macrocosm and the microcosm, in our world, in our situations, in our relationships. Have we nurtured the soil? Or have we stripped the soil of all that is necessary for that seed to grow? When we reconnect with the living earth, we see life working. We see the dependability of it. We see the wisdom of it. We see the brilliance of life sustaining life without need of humans. As I look out into the wooded area, I never planted one of those trees. Life did that. Life carried the seeds on the wind, in the excrement of a bird, or in a little squirrel that carried it home and buried it for later and forgot about it.
Right.
Life did that.
Yeah.
But if I do not know how to appreciate it, I will easily destroy it. So back to what you said, the most important thing that we could teach a child, any child, is to plant a seed.
I agree completely.
And then to watch it grow. And then to care for it, to water it, and to understand that no thing, no plant can live alone. It is dependent upon the water. It is dependent upon the air. It is dependent upon the sunlight. It is dependent upon the nutrients within the earth. It's dependent upon the little worms and little things that we can't see that are still there but are hidden from our physical eyes. And when we look at the interdependency of the living earth, and if we learn how to think and to be in the space of observation, then we can have a deeper appreciation of how to make things workable. So I have a dear friend who is in law enforcement, and the challenge that is constantly confronting them is people reacting to the circumstances that are inhumane that they are expected to thrive in.
Right.
And they wonder, why does a child pick up a gun?
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no nurturance. Because there is no fertile soil of their mind, in their body, in their environment, for them to be present. For them to experience life other than as a threat. We have forgotten to create our cities and our communities in ways that enhance life rather than confining life. We have created prisons in our own minds. We have created prisons in the cell, in the rows of corn,
mm-hmm.
that no corn can actually be healthy if it's growing all alone. And if we consume it, we consume the thought. If we consume the physical part of something, it becomes us.
Sure does.
So do you have any questions?
Well, there was something you said way at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
You said something about when we die, we aren't part of the earth anymore, or something like that, something along those lines. Now, I would sort of disagree with that statement, because when you die, you become part of the earth even more, I believe, because your body does become part of it. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, but what I was referring to is the part of you that can do something.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay? Because the reality is our body is the earth herself.
True.
Every mineral that creates our body is already in the earth.
Yeah.
Every drop of water we have ever consumed or we have bathed in comes from the earth.
True.
The calcium, the phosphorus, the potassium, the gold, the ink, the zinc, the iron, everything is already in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean is the personhood, the spirit that has the potential to interact through the body is missing. It is gone.
I think I misunderstood that.
That's okay. I'm glad that you asked that question, because it's important to clarify it.
Yeah.
So, yes, of course, the old adage, ashes to ashes and dust to dust.
Yeah, for sure.
We do not for one second have any control about creating one atom in our body. We don't even have the intelligence to do it.
Sure.
Nor do we have the intelligence to understand how can you eat a salad and it becomes your body.
Right.
And that your body's a fire, meaning the temperature within your body, is as powerful as the fire that keeps us alive called the sun, which is a star.
That's a good question. You want to get wild with the questions?
Sure, go ahead.
The universe, planets, other solar systems, there's got to be life out there other than ours. Don't you?
Of course there is.
Yeah, okay. So, are they trying? I heard this on the radio the other day. I'm not one of those people who's like, oh my gosh, there's aliens out there everywhere. I'm not like obsessed with this sort of thing. I do, however, believe, yeah, there's definitely aliens out there. They're probably trying to communicate with us. That's probably a true statement. I don't think they're, you know, Avengers, Marvel Avengers type, evil type of aliens who are going to come down and start shooting everybody up with their crazy guns. But what are your thoughts? Do you think they are trying to communicate with it with crop circles or stuff like that? Or
let me hear you. I'm glad
respond.
That you asked that question.
Yes, yes.
Because part of the big challenge that we have is we don't understand our own language.
Okay, explain.
Look at the word alien.
Okay.
Itself. The term alien means not known to us.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Extraterrestrial means not from this terrain.
Okay. I've heard that before.
Okay. So, but we use words as if to be an alien is an enemy. So we refer to people coming from other countries or in other continents as if they were an alien.
Right. Illegal alien. They use that term all the time.
So what we're not intelligent enough, or we don't choose to be intelligent enough to look beyond what does that mean? We create a scenario of fear that we have to be afraid of the person who doesn't look like us, so that we call them an alien. We don't understand the enormity of the cosmos. So anything
not even
we do
close.
Not understand, we create the scenario of fear about. There's already evidence, indisputable evidence, that various meteors or things that have come from outer space, when they are examined, they see that there is life there or evidence of life.
Right.
So if we look back and really begin to understand, our sun is a star.
Big one.
Our planet was created by the explosion of a star. So just that alone, we understand we came from space.
There's got to be more of us.
It would be ignorant to believe it's not true.
Yeah, I agree.
So if I were to look at the tip of my finger, and if I could microscopically look at one single atom, would that mean that that was the totality of my body? That's how we are so arrogant in our thinking, to think that one single atom called our solar system is all there is to everything. How could that be? If any part of it is alive, all of it must be alive.
Yep.
Otherwise, we wouldn't exist. The exosphere and the torus of the Earth is the electromagnetic field created by the electrical current within the Earth. That protects us from the outside crushing forces of zero gravity or space. But we know absolutely space is not empty.
Yeah.
Any more than we know now because of science that the space in our atoms is not empty. That there's a nucleus with protons and neutrons moving around, held in place in these perfect spherical orbits or elliptical orbits. But there's something holding it together. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's empty. You disconnect the magnetic field, the atom doesn't exist.
I am surprised that you are, well, I'm not surprised. I am happy that Empower Radio has such a learned woman on its station, or a learned person on its station, because I say aliens, you're like, boom, here's 15 minutes on it right now. Like, I'm just impressed, very impressed with that response, Elaine. If I had a clap track to play right now, you'd hear an applause track.
Well, thank you, but I can take no credit for it, because I have had great guidance.
Okay.
But what I do take credit for, if I can use that term, and it's really not meant to sound arrogant,
okay,
is I choose to be a curious individual.
Right.
I choose to say, what else is there? And because we have dumbed ourselves down, and so we react to what is unintelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And we have forgotten how to use this gift of our intellect that we know unequivocally we use only a minuscule part of it. We use a minuscule part of it.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, because we have become lazy, truly.
Yeah.
We will follow prescribed patterns of thinking. Those are called beliefs. A prescribed pattern of thinking has caused every war on this planet. That if someone has slanted eyes, then they're my enemy. Why? Instead of looking further, why do they have slanted eyes? Where did they come from? Where is the origin? Why do they need that? Are they protecting their eyes? Is melanin, because of the fact that I have a gazillion freckles, does that make me different than someone whose skin is a beautiful ebony color? The only reason I have freckles is because my body doesn't make as much melanin as theirs does.
Right.
I need to have pale skin because of where my ancestors started on this planet. in a place where there was not a lot of sun. I would die without my body's ability to create vitamin C or vitamin D, excuse me, from the sun itself. That is why some plants need to be exposed to the sun. Others need to be in shade because of their ability to receive the information from the sun. It would either burn it up because it doesn't have enough of what is needed to create that perfect ability to withstand that sun. So my hope is the remainder of my days, I am given opportunities and doors open for me to help people learn how to think. If we don't know how to think, we doom ourselves. And if we continue with ridiculous rhetoric about parties and opposition, we will do nothing to move us forward as a species.
It seems like that'll never go away.
It will go away when we get smart.
Yeah, it just seems like that's never going to go away. I mean, Elaine, Republican, Democrat, when are they ever going to stop that?
You know, it's an interesting thing. In the work that I have done as an energy healer, helping people understand their own connection to the living earth, energy healing is not a mystery. It has been shunned, however. But we need to get back to what life does. And when we recognize that these two parties, there was a time when it didn't exist. That to separate oneself from your own humanity is folly. And I can guarantee you, when I have had the privilege of being with people, and I do mean this sincerely, people that have been given a terminal diagnosis, the last thing they think about is the party affiliation they have. The thing they think about clearly is life.
Of course.
So we have to remember to teach people. We are not how we define ourselves, but what we do defines who we are. In other words, I can say that I am a Republican or a Democrat, but if I work against life, I'm a fool. Who I say I am means nothing in comparison to what I do to demonstrate who I am.
But what's the point in saying who you are, Republican or Democrat?
There is no point.
There is no point. There's something drawing people to saying that. You know what I'm saying?
Because people, again, believe their beliefs. And they believe that there is a hierarchical. Again, we have to remember, people don't know how to think.
They're saying goodbye to their values. It's like you just said, like not believing in the beliefs of life, not caring about life.
Not believing in the beliefs of life. Life does not require a belief.
Well, what you said a few seconds ago about life, and I'm not going to get into this debate about abortion, okay? Abortion is a whole nother topic, but it's, in my opinion, it's kind of messed up, okay? It's killing babies, right? And if you put it down to that argument, it's a no-brainer to me. It's a bad thing. But there's other things like killing prisoners or killing.
Okay, let's go back.
Yeah,
to the
I'm getting myself
very
in
a hot topic.
I'm getting in a bad topic, right?
No, it's not a bad topic. It's a topic people don't think about.
Yeah.
What we have forgotten to do before anyone is in a position where they do not believe that they can sustain a pregnancy.
Right. And I respect that, by the way.
Is What brought two people together? Was it rape? Was it incest? Was it a willingness and an understanding of the responsibility they are about to undertake in the potential creation of a life? That part is completely ignored. There's only the damning of the action that created it.
Right.
Or there's the damning of what someone does when they don't know what to do. The focus is in the wrong place.
It is.
As is, the focus is in the wrong place to condemn a person who is a homeless individual. The focus should be, why and how is this even possible?
Yeah.
Why is this person, if they need mental health care, not receiving it? Why is this person not have clean clothes and food, even though there's an abundance of it on this planet? How is this happening? How is this possible? We look at the end result instead of what has caused it. That's part of our ignorance. So there's a big challenge that has been created by our willingness to believe so many things. When we believe in our superiority in any level, then we have the potential to be an abuser. But if we are humbled by the superiority of life itself, and the workability of life itself, we would never dream of harming anyone.
Okay.
And this has not been taught. You hear of things, of people doing things, or let's say, I'll give you an example without going into too much detail.
Sure.
Imagine a young boy gets in trouble.
Okay.
For doing something he should not have done. An ignorant person will say, well, boys will be boys. Instead of saying, I failed this child.
Yeah.
I did not say, this is what you do not do. I did not teach them how to be caring of other people, other people's property, other people's lives, other people's personhood. There's an excuse created. Is that thinking? No. Is that abdication of responsibility? Absolutely. Can we sustain life if we abdicate our own responsibility? No. So responsibility is not duty, as many people think. So part of our big challenge, Kojo, is we don't even understand our own language. So to many, to be responsible means I have to take on one more task, one more thing I don't want to do. No, what it means is, what is your ability to respond? Do you have an ability to respond? That is the question it is asking. Responsibility. So can I, as an example, if I hear of a tragedy that happens with someone in another place, am I responsible to do something for that person? Yes. I have an ability to respond within my own self, to ask for peace for people. I can do something within me because I understand that somehow, somewhere, that other human species will receive that signal, even if it's only for a moment. That's often called prayer.
Right. Well said.
So when we hold a prayer as a duty, we have lost its meaning. But if we understand that we as humans can stop and observe what is happening, then we have a potential possibility of contributing to the betterment of something. When I'm working with individuals, and that includes myself, I recognize that a child can die, an elder can die, a healthy person can die, a sick person can die, a nice person can die, a nasty person can die, and all of them will. But what do they choose to be with this very small allotment of time that we have in this body? What are we going to do? Are we going to sit around aimlessly shooting words of discontent at one another, ticking as the time of our life clock dwindles down? We have been extremely directed away from reality. And when we begin to look at reality again, wars will stop. Because what is real is all of us are guilty. All of us are guilty of harming ourselves and one another in one way or another. We are all accountable. When we look within, then we will never look without in judgment, outside of ourselves. Instead, we can look with empathy, comprehension of what has actually happened that has deprived an individual of what they need. So now they feel they must fight for it, because what should have been given was denied. We are responsible. We are capable of responding, if we choose it. And so back to the subject of this conversation, reconnecting with the earth. How many times do you think any individual on this planet who damages water or damages soil intentionally thinks for a moment how many millions upon millions upon millions of years did it take for pure water to exist on this planet? And if they ever comprehended that, would they intentionally harm that which keeps them alive? If they think of it merely as a commodity, then they believe falsely that it is replicable. Not a single human on this planet has ever created H2O. Not a single one of us are intelligent enough. We try to replicate it, to use the earth to filter sediment out of water so that at the end of the stream, the water is pure. We try to replicate it with systems, filtration systems, but is it as effective and as beautiful and as rich and as consistent as what the earth herself can do?
No.
No. We have got to come out of our collective amnesia. We have got to be willing to look at the ignorance we hold as if it is a badge of honor. Our ignorance causes nothing but trouble. And even the word ignorance, I was having a conversation with someone recently. Our words are so powerful, and we know nothing about them. Every word often, I shouldn't say every word, but many, many words in our English language has more than one meaning. So ignorance has two meanings. There is the innocence of ignorance, not knowing. A child who is just born is ignorant to, meaning not aware yet, of what is their own potential. They don't know how to read. They don't know how to feed themselves. They don't know how to toilet themselves. They don't know how to interact yet. And then there's the ignorance, which is willfully ignoring something. And if we're not intelligent enough to see the difference, learn the difference, we will imagine that they're synonymous. A child is not inherently ignorant, meaning incapable. In fact, they are incredibly capable and are ancient in the spirit that they are. But in order to, like every other thing on this planet that is alive, it must begin small. Even the human began as a seed and a sperm, mysteriously coming together in the right circumstances, hopefully, with love and respect for each other, so that the potential life they are about to conceive has the guidance and the nurturance of two healthy individuals, mind, body, and spirit. But if we are wise, if we recognize that over time, if there is not workability in what we call a marriage or a relationship, it does not mean that everything must be destroyed. It means that we have accountability for our own actions, or we have an ability to assess what might need to change. And if we are wise, we lovingly release one another. Because in reality, if we have recognized that it is not workable, then there is no requirement to destroy one another. That is an industry called law or lawyers. And you want to find one that is knowledgeable, should that happen, so that there was an equitable possibility for those two individuals to begin a life anew. But in early times on this North American continent, if a quote-unquote marriage was no longer workable, all that had to happen was for the woman to put the man's moccasins outside of her teepee. That was a declaration that it was complete. It was not bad-mouthing. It was not, you're wrong, I'm wrong, this is mine, this is yours. It's like, you are free. And so is she. But we have believed that we must do battle. In the people that I work with who are sick, let's say with a terminal diagnosis, let's say going through chemotherapy, you don't have to listen too hard to hear people in medicine say, well, we must battle cancer. We must battle heart disease. We must battle this and that. The moment you declare battle, someone must die. And if the battle is within yourself, within your psyche, within your spirit, within your body, you will be the one who loses. Instead, how do you make it work? How do you contribute to the workability of life? How do you reconnect with the living earth so that the body has what it needs in the information required to create a cell? That comes from, excuse me, from the earth. Not from you, not from me, not from someone's rhetoric. Life is workable. And it is through the observation of life over time, people began to understand time itself. They observed, not in a nanosecond like we're expecting ourselves to be the wisest person because we watched something on YouTube. That's not wise. Doesn't mean it's not good either. It means you gain information. But you have to see, you have to weed through it. But in the observation of time, they watched what life did, that seeds were sown at a particular time. that the conditions had to be right at a particular time, that the waters had to come at a particular time, that the seed would emerge as a sprout at a particular time. It would grow and reach for the sun at a particular time. It would blossom into its harvest at a particular time so that humans could eat. Humans learned by watching. They learned about planning. They learned about agriculture. They learned about timing. They learned about what works and what doesn't. Humans did not do that. Humans observed what life did and followed those patterns. They learned to watch what the animals were doing because the animals were so much more sensitive to the atmosphere. When the animals moved, they moved. When the animals migrated, they migrated. They were not moving willy-nilly. We, Kojo, have to learn to become intelligent once again, to learn to use the intellect that the living earth provides us every second of our existence.
It's a great message.
That we are walking on a living library. A living library. All the answers are available to us if we're wise enough to pay attention. So reconnecting with the living earth is what I teach. And that means to understand who you are, why you're here, why you're significant. Every life is important. Every life is capable of teaching. Every life is capable of learning, no matter how long it is. But when we get out of our own way and we relinquish the arrogance that we ourselves have created of class distinction, parties, ethnic differences, it's all an illusion. We have created fantasies that we live in. And so we have to reemerge as intelligent people every moment of every day. That's how reconnecting with the living earth is observing what life itself is. And then when we understand what life is, we will realize that we are life being lived. You and I are not intelligent enough to make one single eyelash, one drop of water. We don't know the sound of a bird and what it means. Life does. We have to stop destroying the teacher upon which we live. So, soon, my website is in the process of being redesigned. I am offering blogs that are in English, and I'm translating some of them into Italian and other languages if people are interested, so they can read what I write about. I am going to be offering on-demand webinars so that as your time allows, wherever you are on the planet, you can sign up and pay for a nominal fee to learn something from me. I will also be doing live events, live on the internet, but also live physically where people can come and learn with me. My joy is to help people understand how important they are, not how important I am, how important they are. Then they'll make a difference. And I'm finishing writing my third book, which I hope to have out soon. And my hope is to find a publisher that will help me to get it out in the world more. So thank you for this opportunity to be with you today, Kojo. I enjoy our conversations. I'm sorry I did most of the talking.
No, thank you, Elaine.
Thank you. It's Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Go out and recognize how important you are, and then be it. Thank you.